Well, as I just talked about with the kids, lighting the Bethlehem candle or the peace candle on the Advent wreath, life isn't always peaceful and calm. In fact, it's often just the opposite. And as we'll see this morning, during the holiday season, we often lack peace because we become even more unsettled and stressed and sad or worried with all the busyness of the holidays. But Christ came, born in a stable, like I just said, into some pretty difficult circumstances, bringing peace on earth and goodwill toward mankind. This isn't a superficial peace or simply saying all the wars end. It's a spiritual peace given by God in the midst of our troubles. And just take another second, as I just did, to think about that first Christmas. It's filled with anxieties and difficulties and troubles, starting with an unexpected pregnancy, likely a teenager. Mary was likely a teenager, which obviously would have had a lot of people talking. This unsettled Joseph so much, her betrothed, or her legally binding, fiancé. Joseph was so unsettled by this, he was ready to leave Mary and just let her fend for herself. But we see that an angel interrupted and God told him what was actually happening, that she wasn't unfaithful to him, but that this was of God. And then we see this Roman census happening right as Mary is becoming more and more pregnant. And they have to go on this long journey from the northern part of Israel all the way down to the southern part of Israel. We don't know whether they had a donkey or something like that to ride on. Obviously, we often portray there being a donkey, but there's a chance that Mary, being 8-9 months pregnant, may have had to walk on foot the whole way. And upon getting there, even though this is Joseph's town where his family comes from, there doesn't seem to be any space for them in any of their relatives' homes. And there was no any type of lodging at all except a stable or a barn, somewhere you kept the animals. And this is where Christ came to us. In the middle of the anxieties and the stresses of life, here in our stress and our anxieties, Christ comes to us and gives us His peace. My sermon text is actually going to be Philippians 4, which is not quite right in the bulletin, is what Eric just read during the scripture reading, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. I'll reference the other text in Luke. And you know, it's not a typical Advent or Christmas text, but as you'll see, I believe it's incredibly beneficial to our understanding of this peace of Advent, the peace that Christ brings in the Advent season. So let me read again Philippians 4, starting at verse 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In our sermon outline, there's not really a bullet points or anything like that, but if you are taking notes or following along, basically we're just going to go through that text kind of line by line or phrase by phrase. So that's kind of the outline if you are wanting to take notes this morning. So looking at that first phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Sometimes during the Christmas season, finding true joy is easier said than done. You know, there's almost an expectation that we're supposed to be joyful and happy during the holidays. You know, sometimes we could put on a brave face and pretend to be joyful. For others, they might work themselves up into a giddy joy because it's Christmas. Or maybe we get happy for the wrong reasons, focusing on the gifts and the things that we're going to have and get. But these aren't real lasting joy from the heart that Paul is talking about in our text. It's the superficial joy often feels good and right in the moment. And you know, to some degree, being happy about these superficial things isn't a bad thing. It's not necessarily wrong. We should find joy in holiday parties, should give thanksgiving for the delicious food and drink that we get to partake in. We should have an awe and wonder like the children do, looking at Christmas lights and decorations. We should get excited to receive gifts and to give gifts to other people. Those aren't bad things. And you know, God wants us to enjoy these things. He wants us to be happy, and He gives us all of these gifts. As James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. But God also doesn't want us to be overly indulgent. We thank God for these gifts, but we need to practice moderation in our enjoyment. Overindulgence is not true happiness, but it can turn to idolatry, actually. These gifts must not be a god to us, something that we turn to for joy and hope, where we worship the joy in the gift instead of the giver, who is God. The problem with Christmas cheer based on these things is that it's not profound and it's not lasting. Superficial joy comes and goes so quickly that many people fall into great sadness when life gets back to normal after the holidays. It's almost like a fix for a drug addict to pump ourselves up with emotional high, thinking about all the joy and the fun and everything, the food and fellowship that goes along with Christmas. And again, these are all great things, but when they alone become the focus, we come crashing down when it's all done. And we have to go back to the realities and the struggles of life. And so Paul says in our text, this next phrase, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And I think a better word, or a word that is a little bit easier for us to use today instead of reasonableness, would be being level-headed. You know, enjoying the holidays without falling into that trap of idolatry, without that overindulgence, or making the holidays into an idol of some kind. Or on the other hand, some Christian circles fear idolatry so much that they ban some of God's good gifts and not allowing the enjoyment of them at all. But keeping that level-headed focus, keeping our focus in the right place while still enjoying some of these superficial things about Christmas. Focusing on the eternal things that God gives us through sending His Son Jesus. But this can be so hard with all the distractions that we have this time of year. Being reasonable and level-headed can be hard during the holidays because life gets especially stressful. We have this long list of things that we need to get done. We wonder how maybe we're going to afford to pay for the gifts that we need to buy. There's added stress when we have to travel far distances to see family and friends. And our nerves start to fray and wear, especially then when others start to act grouchy around us. How much more difficult is it when we have this long list of things we need to get done, when a certain person comes into our lives or we bump into this person and they eat up all of our time, and we just hope that they get out of the way? Perhaps we might think of some unkind names we say in our heads, or maybe even allow them to slip out of our mouths in frustration. I think we've all experienced the fact that patience tends to run a little bit thin the closer we get to Christmas. Possibly driving skills and courtesy proportionately decrease. We're stressed by everything we need to do. We end up saying and doing things we maybe wouldn't normally say and do to one another. And the irony is that Christmas is that time that we're supposed to celebrate the peace that God brings to us. But we act the exact opposite way as we let the stress build up. So staying level-headed and gentle is hard when you're pushed hard, when you're under pressure. You're trying to do nice things for other people, but then somebody gives you a rough time. It's so hard to answer impatience with a kind word, or to forgive them when they're being mean, or when you're simply trying to be nice. May we be patient enough to be gentle this season. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, as it says. And you know, the true Christmas spirit, the Holy Spirit, guides us to practice self-control. He leads us to not simply throw all control to the wind and make ourselves sick with this overindulgence and wrong focus. Focusing too much on the gifts or the food or the fellowship. Or trying to outspend our loved one or neighbor by buying a bigger or better gift. Or temporarily pumping ourselves up with Christmas cheer. Instead, he leads us down a path of moderation where we enjoy the gifts and we share them without making the gifts into an idol and keeping our focus where it ought to be, on Christ and the peace that he brings to us. And as we continue in our text here, I'm actually going to skip one little phrase at the end of 5, but at verse 6, and I'll go back to that phrase. It says, do not be anxious about anything. You know, this one is especially tough, as I've mentioned, during the holidays. As we saw earlier, there are many things that demand our time and energy. There are so many troubles and anxieties that arise, whether it's financial struggles or family problems, anxiety and stress about our work, our health, or our relationships. There's sadness and grief over loved ones that we've lost. We live in a fallen and broken world, touched by sin and death. And yet we're called to rejoice and to be level-headed and not to be anxious. And how can we do this when there's so many things that cause us anxiety during the holidays? Paul tells us as we continue in our text in verse 6, he says, don't forget to pray. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, prayer begins with humbly acknowledging who we are and who God is. Especially that prayer of thanksgiving. God has given us so much. The Lord is a generous Father. You know, even if we exclude all of the things that He has blessed us with spiritually through His Son Jesus Christ, we still have an overwhelming list of the blessings that He's blessed us with. You know, thanksgiving, this prayer of thanksgiving, acknowledging who God is, the giver of all good gifts, and that we pray to Him in a prayer of thanksgiving, it fights against the anxiety and fears that pop up in the holiday season. For why be anxious when your loving Father is taking care of you? Giving thanks calms us so that we can be more reasonable in the stress and the chaos. And it puts our lives into an eternal perspective that can keep us from this overindulgence and focusing too much on the here and now and the superficial things surrounding the holidays. And when we petition our gracious Father, we should not pray as that grouch who has this long list of demands that we think we deserve because of how good we've been. No, we do not need to influence God so that we can squeeze a few extra gifts out of Him. We need to realize that God is not a miserable Scrooge who does not want to give out His blessings, even while we're asking for a particular thing. God has already given us dozens of things that we're not aware of. Just the fact that we're alive, that we have breath in our lungs, that we have mental clarity, that we have food and shelter, family and friends, that we have a stable government, and so on. God has blessed us greatly. And we do not pray to get gifts out of Him. Instead, we pray to a Father who is good and loving, who is even now listening for our prayers because He delights in helping us. Sometimes we might complain. Maybe we don't complain out loud or in church, but we wonder to ourselves, we say, well, why doesn't He give us what we want? And much anxiety and lack of moderation during the holidays may come from a suspicion in our hearts that God does not listen to our prayers. And we need to grab whatever we can as quickly as we can, because we don't really trust that God will provide. This is not the attitude of somebody who trusts a loving Father. His generosity is not like that. If He does not have a gift, if He does not give you the gift you ask for, it's because there's a better one, or that He's going to give it to you in a different time. We must give Him the benefit of the doubt, as He is infinitely wiser than we are. We should not act like the spoiled child who cries and whines and complains that the gift he wanted isn't under the tree, while ignoring the dozen other gifts that he was just given. But we pray with confidence that our gracious Father is listening. We're confident because we know for certain that we are the people of God. We can be so sure because of our certainty is in Christ and not ourselves. Our certainty is in the merits of His blood shed for us on the cross. His life purchased our lives. His resurrection shows us that God wants us life for us, and that Christ is forever our mediator and intercessor before the heavenly throne. And nothing can take away the certainty that Christ has torn away the curtain separating us from the Father. Our prayers fly straight up to His ears. He always, always hears our prayers because of Christ. He is the true reason for the Christmas season. And as we look to God in prayer, God reminds us just why Jesus came in the first place. This is what St. Paul in our text in Philippians says at the end of verse 5. I said I'd go back to it. It says, the Lord is at hand. And when you first read this passage completely, it doesn't seem to fit into the surrounding text. It seems a little bit of a random statement. The Lord is at hand, about God's presence. But as we've looked deeper into what's going on here in this text, God is calling us to rejoice and being level-headed, and not to be anxious, but to call on Him in prayer, knowing that the Lord is at hand, present for us in the middle of our anxieties. He is the great comfort and hope. He is the one that gives us a peace and a certainty. He was at hand for us in the manger. He became accessible to human race, so that anybody who was nearby could just simply reach out and touch the skin of God's Son. They could hear the baby's voice cry, who was God. They could see His tiny face and hands and feet. He was at hand for us. The Lord is at hand for us, becoming flesh and becoming our brother, to be the atonement price paid for all mankind. As John 1:14 says, the Word, the divine Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This little baby born on Christmas is God in the flesh, born to die for you and for me. 1 John 2:2 says, He is the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. The Lord is at hand for us today as we encounter Him through His Word and as we partake in His sacraments. He is accessible to the human race now so that many people can hear the voice of the Son of God through His Word, so that many people can touch and taste the body and blood of the man who is God. The Lord is at hand for us multiple times during these holidays or holy days. Well, that's what the word holidays means, is holy days. They are holy days for us when we gather around the Word of God and truly encounter Christ who has come to us, keeping Him as the true reason for the season. And the Lord is at hand, coming again in His second advent, as we talked about last week. Hebrews 9:28 says, So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, and not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for Him. When He will take us home to see Him face to face, where He will take away all of the sadness and difficulties and trials and temptations in this life, where He will wipe away every tear, when He will give us every good and perfect gift in that place, where no gift is spoiled and no prayer receives the answer no. The Lord is at hand in all of these ways. So be patient. Be level-headed. Do not quickly lose your gentle spirit. Be moderate in your use of God's gifts. There's no rush for us to seize all these gifts now, for the very best gifts are reserved for us after this brief life. And so have an eternal perspective during this holiday season, so we can be joyful and rejoice now, even though our circumstances may not be the best, even though there's stress and sadness and pain and various difficulties of life, we can rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And finally, the very last part of our text in verse 7. It says, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we encounter Christ, we are supernaturally given a peace beyond human understanding, beyond what the world expects or maybe what we expect ourselves. We can rejoice in sorrow. We can give thanks in the midst of anxiety. We have an eternal perspective when all around us life seems to be breaking down. These incredible blessings, they're not natural to us. We don't respond this way without the peace that God gives to us through Jesus Christ. It's for good reason that He's called the Prince of Peace. This peace is ours because the Christ child came, bringing His peace on earth and goodwill to men. This peace does not mean that everything in our lives will always meet our standards, but Christ's peace means that we are safe and secure. We are people watched over by a loving God who paid dearly for us. We know what the future is for us. So we know that no matter what happens here in this life, we are eternally safe in the peace of Christ. And as I close this morning, I can't help but think again of that first Christmas, all of the fears and stresses and anxieties that Mary and Joseph must have felt under those difficult circumstances. And in Luke 1, we can see a glimpse of Mary's incredible reaction to God. as God revealed to her that she would bear her Savior, the Christ child. I'm just going to read a couple of those verses in Luke 1 just to see Mary's reaction and Mary's hope and Mary's peace that God gave to her. In Luke 1:38, responding to the angel, Mary said this, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Simply saying, "Lord, let your will be done." I know that this is going to be difficult. I know this is scary. This isn't maybe what I thought or planned or hoped for my life, but let your will be done. In verse 46 through 50, a little bit later on, Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who is with child with John the Baptist. And Mary sings this beautiful song of praise to God out of thanksgiving for who God is and what He has done through her. And she says this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation." So Mary, in the midst of it all, simply trusted God's will and rejoiced in her Savior. So what about you this Christmas? When life is stressful and anxious, when you're worried about money, when you're frustrated with those grouches or Scrooges that pop up in your life, when you feel overwhelmed by the travel and the time and all that goes into being with family and friends. Maybe when you get upset over a political argument that happens at the dinner table. When your heart aches and breaks for the loved ones that have passed in this last year. When you're tempted to focus too much on the gifts themselves. Or when you just try to put on that superficial happy face. We live in a world broken by sin. And as we heard last week out of Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time had come, at the very right time and space in history, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ came to bring peace on earth and God's goodwill towards mankind. And may you encounter Him through His Word this Christmas. May you realize you can bring anything to your Heavenly Father through prayer. May you have this eternal perspective that beyond all of our troubles in life, may you be able to rejoice and give thanksgiving in the middle of all the anxieties and stress. May your level-headedness, this reasonableness, be seen by all, that they may see your good works and glorify God because of them. And finally, may you find your peace in Him, the Prince of Peace, the only source of true peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you came into the chaos and the brokenness of this life and world to bring hope and salvation and peace. Lord, I pray everyone here would see you this Christmas season. They would encounter you, the Prince of Peace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.